Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. We are joined for the fullness of the hour by the Reverend Dr. Clayton Ford, pastor, author of four books, Holy Spirit Renewal Leader, and most importantly, servant and ambassador for Jesus Christ, as well as being married to the lovely author or authoress, my old English, Cheryl Ford, and I might also add my friend. Dr. Ford or Clay, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thank you so much. What a joy and privilege it is to be with you again, dear brother.
I'm delighted. You have joined us maybe twice in the past. Once was in studio back in the Old City, Philadelphia. It's been a while since we've talked. May I ask you, though, up front, just for the protocol, would you prefer I address you as Dr. Ford, Clay. Reverend Ford?
Clay is fine, yes.
Clay, okay, excellent. But I understand for formal purpose you are Dr. Clayton Ford, to be sure. And we do want to make mention of the fact as we enter into this conversation, full throttle, Dr. Ford or Clay is now the author of the newly published Jesus Christ, Light of the World. And I know the book is making some impact, I'm sure here in the States, but I know also in India. We'll talk about that as the conversation unfolds. But Clay, up front, tell us, what led you into the drafting of this book?
Well, you know, when we get to retirement age, we find ourselves, you can't retire from God, right? You never retire from God.
No.
Here and there, teaching online, speaking engagements, and teaching elsewhere, preaching, but more time on your hands. So I was watching a lot of TV and movies, and I noticed something, a phrase that started coming up every time I watched a show: what are you doing here? It would come up literally 90% of the time. And then it started coming up two or three times in one show. I called my wife, Sherry, in. I said, Sherry, we're going to watch this show. Watch this phrase. What are you doing here? So I laughed and laughed. And then one day it started dawning on me, God, maybe are you trying to tell me something? What am I doing here? I'm wasting a lot of time. Sherry was telling me, well, Clay, you ought to work on a book. You ought to work on another book. I had written three books. And I said, well, Sherry, you have to have something burning in your heart that you know God is telling you to write. And I just don't want to pick a topic and start writing, you know? So I started praying in earnest, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I went early one Sunday morning. I went to Starbucks. I got a cup of coffee, and I wrote across the top of a yellow pad, what are you doing here? And I said, Lord, speak to me. Show me what you want me to do. And Bradley, almost instantly, the Holy Spirit just dropped this in my face. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Jesus Christ, light of the world. And I got so excited because I wondered, why haven't I written this book before? I devoted many years to Holy Spirit renewal, and I've written a book about the Holy Spirit. But here, Jesus Christ, that verse, John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That was one of the passages of Scripture as I was a party crazy college fraternity guy. That verse got me intrigued. What did Jesus mean by that? And that verse has become so meaningful to me. It was instrumental in my salvation, among other very important factors, and lighthouses have always been important. On the cover of my book is a lighthouse with the light in the shape of a cross that my grandson, David Ford, just decided to help me design. There it was. So That's how it started, and it's like the Holy Spirit just gave me, before I left Starbucks that day, I had pretty much the chapter outline of the book, and I knew what I was going to do, and it only took 5 months to write that book.
I'm intrigued, Clay. Just three initial responses. You make reference to your book on the Holy Spirit. I have it in front of me. I love your title, Called to High Adventure, A Fresh Look at the Holy Spirit and the Spirit-Filled Fire. My wife, now with the Lord, God bless her, loved your book. She just reveled in it. Number two, this was all spawned over a cup of coffee, but we need to be a bit more descriptive. A very expensive cup of coffee at Starbucks, right?
Yeah.
But the Lord is worth every penny we have. And when you speak of asking God and he delivers on the spot, you'll be intrigued by this, because I've actually had a book privately published. I had 150 copies made. I need to get a fresh printing now. But I was driving north to Boston back in, circa 2000. In the month of May, I was heading north to attend a graduation at my alma mater of Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. And I'm in what they call the mountains of Connecticut, which is Route 84. They're hills, but by Connecticut standards, they're mountains, you know. Lovely territory, beautiful day. And three words, Clay, were airlifted into and dropped into my lap. Very alliterative. Breathe, blossom, build. They came out of nowhere. And for the next several years, I couldn't shake them. I lived with them. I slept with them. I breathed them. And I began to understand that the Spirit of God was leading me to do something with these words. And I ultimately produced the book, Breathe, Blossom, and Build, A Personal Schematic to Christian Life and Ministry. So when you tell me that the Spirit of God just delivered on the spot the title and the theme of your book, I buy it, because I had something similar. It played out differently, but when we're attuned to the Lord, he's attuned to us. Praise God.
Yeah.
So tell us something. It took you 5 months to draft, I'm sure a bit longer to get it actually published. Tell us something more about your book.
Well, the book starts with the power of light in the darkness, whether you're lighting a lamp or a candle or a flashlight or a lighthouse. Light brings, you can see in the dark. And Jesus being the light of the world, I start the first chapter of the book, my journey to Jesus, and how, as a wayward college student, wasting my college education, how I became a believer in Jesus Christ after doubting, after mocking, after resisting. My mother used to witness to me, and I'd say, Mom, I don't need a crutch. I don't need a crutch. She had three kids in 2.5 years and was driven to her knees early in her life as a mother to believe in the Lord. But I said, I don't need a crutch. What do you want me to do? Make my mind think something that I don't believe? And she would call me at college. I went to Davidson in North Carolina. And at the close of the conversation, she would say, don't forget Jesus loves you. I would cuss loudly, throw the phone down on the hook as hard as I could. She would write letters, P.S., don't forget Jesus loves you. I would literally crumple them up and throw them away before I left the post office. But she got under the radar. She got under the radar, asked me some questions. And she said, if Christ is who he said he was, and if you knew that, if he's the savior of the world, the only hope, if you knew that was true, would you accept him and follow him and serve him? Well, you can't say no to that and still say you're someone who values truth. Because if he was who he said he was, I said, well, certainly I would believe in him and follow him. Not thinking at all that he was who he said he was, not believing in the resurrection or anything like that. She looked at me when I said, sure I would. She said, then you will. And within a year, I was born again at Davidson in my senior year of college. I accepted Christ and was called into the ministry. So that's the first chapter. And then I go into Jesus Christ, the light of the world, give a context for that verse where he said those words. And then I go into Jesus' teachings, the important teachings about not only the general teachings of all that he said about life and the world and heaven and hell and salvation, but teachings about who he said he was, the Son of God, fully God, fully human. And then I go into the crucial role of crucifixion and the resurrection, and then decision time, 10 compelling reasons you should become a Christian. And I actually have a prayer there to assist people to receive Christ if they want to use that. And then steps, where do I go from here? So in 104 pages, we get a lot of ground covered. And I've been told that it's very, very helpful in bringing people to Christ. Some people have ordered 100 copies. One church used 200 and gave them away to people at Easter time. And I've had a lot of that happening. And not only, they say, is it helpful to bring people to faith in Christ, but it's also helpful to strengthen the faith of Christians. And so I've been just very blessed. I give all the glory to God for the book, because he told me to do it and he helped me to do it. And so it's his book.
His book, and you are his servant, and we have three more rounds of his time. Praise God. Brad Lacey, Dr. Clay Ford, we return in a moment. Brad Lacey and Dr. Clayton Ford, author of Jesus Christ, Light of the World, returning for another round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Clay, as you were sharing an encapsulated testimony of how you came to Christ, you were telling us how when your mother would encourage you to look to Christ, you would use all manner of expletive and wanted nothing to do with it. And as I'm hearing that, I'm thinking to myself, well, you just dared, double dared, and triple dared the Holy Spirit. And you can't do that and expect to win. So you lost, but you won, right?
That's right.
You now became fodder for his grand testimonial in your life and his redemptive power. Extraordinary.
Extraordinary. Trump had to lose that battle, that's for sure.
Also, I think to myself, you mentioned 104 pages. On the one hand, look, as a preacher, when I preach on Sunday mornings, I'm a 45-minute man. When I give a devotional on this radio broadcast, which I'm not doing today, it's condensed or truncated to 11 minutes. I now do something elsewhere where I have to condense it and truncate it down to 1 minute. So I do 1 minute sermons, 11-minute sermons, and 45-minute sermons. I'm going to have to try a 104-page sermon. On the one hand, encapsulated by the length of most books, and yet no doubt packed and pregnant with substance, as you've already and heretofore described. You did mention at the end of the last section that there's been a wonderful reception of your book on the other side of the world in India. Tell us about this.
Yes. Part of the classes that I've been teaching online with Renewal School of Ministry, some pastor leader, church planters from India started taking our classes, and one young man in particular who oversees a network of hundreds, literally hundreds of pastors and leaders in India started taking our classes, and we became good friends. And then I began to speak at some of their conferences in India. And when I wrote this book, you know, he said, light is so important in India. He said, we have huge festival of light every year. And people are, you know, it's a land of darkness, he said, like 330 million gods and superstitions and castes, and people are broken and lost, and they need the light of Christ. So when he got this book, He said, can we translate that book? We need that book in India. And so I said, absolutely. I gave him full authority. I make no profits. I help support. We're getting books printed for $1 each to get in the hands of people that need Jesus in India. Well, just a couple of weeks ago, they had a launch of the book, and 5,900 books have already been printed. And before a week goes by, they need 5,000 more. So we're very excited about that. He said they had this launch, and they had people in the state of Bihar that had not only Christian pastors and leaders, there are several hundred people. They were also representative of Hindu and Muslim that were there to for this launch, and they had women separated, but there. And when Pastor who was in charge of the event shared the story about my mother praying for me and never giving up on me and the role she played in my salvation, he said that many people were crying, and especially the women who had hope for their children. So there's an impact going on there that I'm very excited about.
You are warming my heart for a very personal reason. Back in the late 90s, I had opportunity to travel into Chennai, down in the south eastern sector, Bay of Bengal. And I did some teaching with the Hindustan Bible Institute. And when you're over there, you're given opportunity not simply to give lectures, but to get to know the students and to counsel them. My wife even had opportunity to join me in one instance. And in fact, in 2 weeks' time, I have to drive down to D.C. and meet with a friend from India and put some monies in his hands for support of what he's doing. So I have a great love for how God's at work in India. I will tell you also, Clay, and I would need to speak with my colleague. We were on the phone earlier today, but I have a colleague who goes into Uganda in Africa and is working with pastors. They do a lot of counseling and teaching. They're trying to offset the prosperity gospel. And the reason I mention this is I'm not suggesting it's of the Holy Spirit. It may very well be, but just having this initial thought that perhaps your book might very well have an impact upon Africa as well. If you give me allowance, I'll speak with my colleague and we'll see where it could go.
Absolutely. I'd love you to. A church where I was attending a few weeks ago, there was a young woman from China there that I had met before, and my wife and I had prayed for her after a service. And I asked her a few weeks ago, I said, do you know anybody who could translate my book into Chinese? Because she's from China. And she said, well, I could. Such a thing. She's a data processor and loves the Lord. And she translated that book, and it was finished this past Sunday.
Now, this is also your book on Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, Light of the World. So it's now translated into Chinese. It's not published. I've sent a PDF to some people to look at, a couple of local Chinese church leaders to look at, give feedback. But we know how many people in China need Jesus. So, and probably within the next month, there's a man in my son's church. My son's a pastor. Man in his church is translating the book into Spanish. He's very excited. He told me, I'm translating your book into Spanish to share with my family down in, I think it was Nicaragua. And he said, you can have what I come up with. He's using Google Translate and different things, and then he's working on it himself. But he's very excited. So I'm going to have several languages already.
Well, it's very gratifying to know that when you respond to the Holy Spirit's cue, that there's great fruit that unfolds and blossoms. So that's got to be very humbling on the one, gratifying on the other.
It's easy to be humble about it for me because God did it. God, he said, stop wasting time. What are you doing here? I want you to do this. And then he helped me do it. So it's literally his book. I'm not in it to make money at all. I've given away a lot more than I've sold in some markets, because you know we've given away hundreds of them, and every time I go somewhere, I have them in the car. It's an amazing tool to share your faith in Christ, and it's just been a real exciting thing. And lots of people from all over the country really have ordered directly from me because I'm able to give them an even lower price. They're available on Amazon for just $5.99. I wanted the price to be low because I want people to be able to afford to give them to friends. But I'm able to beat that price when people buy it. And so people have bought like 100, 125, all over the country.
Well, I will tell you, Clay, as a bibliophile, I have an extensive personal library. Books are now, as you know, very expensive. So, yes. So for you to take this philosophy, I want to pick up on this on the other end of the commercial divide. It's a very important one. Brad Lacey, Dr. Clayton Ford, author of Jesus Christ, Light of the World. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey and Dr. Clayton Ford, author of Jesus Christ, Light of the World, returning for yet another round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. You know, Clay, you were discussing how you're trying to effectively give your book away. You don't take royalties or anything of the sort. I'm always somewhat, look, I understand there are realities of economy in life, but I'm always concerned when I get the sense that people are profiting off of the gospel. I mean, a laborer is worthy of his or her keep. And obviously, if you're pastoring a larger, wealthier church, you're going to be making a healthier salary and have, you know, driving a nicer car. I get all of that. But when the gospel becomes motivated by personal profit, I'm deeply troubled. Yes. In my case, I've written 4 books of poetry, 1 magnum opus, and 1 collection of essays. I've had 150 of each printed privately. And frankly, I give them away. And people have asked me, why don't you sell them? I don't like selling the gospel. I realize that there may be need to cover costs. I'm not minimizing that.
Right.
And I don't know, Christ freely gave of himself to me, and I trust in him for what is mine. And let me tell you a story, and I want you to respond to this. Early this week, last week, someone came to me for the purpose of the gospel, outside of my orbit, but part of my world, another ministry, and they needed $300 for the ministry. And I know it was legit. Well, we've been working off of razor-thin margins here. And I decided, let me see. I held back for a day or two. And then I discerned the Spirit of God saying, he needs it now. You need it next week, but he needs it now. So I called him up. I said, I've got the money for you, and I'm sorry for the delay. I ask your forgiveness. And I put the $300 in his hand. Clay, over the weekend, out of the blue, we came into, as a church, this financial windfall of $5,500, which is like a Persian fortune for us.
Praise God.
We were able to clear the deck of all of our outstanding bills, and I was able to pay off mine as well. I'm convinced that because that man needed the money before we needed it, you give it to him now and you trust in God for the rest.
Yes.
And as it turns out, as a friend of mine says, you can't outgive God. I'd be curious your response, because you're clearly looking to make your book available either at the cheapest cost possible or for free. So you have a similar philosophy, I believe.
Yes, I do. God's provided for us. We live simply. We live in a Senior Park mobile home, and because of that, we have money, a lot from retirement and so on. We have money to give to God's work all over the place. And just to be totally honest, I get a little bitty royalty, about $1.20 or something on Amazon. But
that's fair enough.
We've given away far more books and the cost of those than I have made through royalties. So, but just wanted to be correct on that.
Well, no, I appreciate the transparency. And it's not that you, if you received a healthier income from it, that would be inappropriate. I'm getting at the motivation.
Yeah. For me, because God gave me this book and God gave me salvation in Christ, and we're not in a place of financial need personally, I just want to get it out there, however, wherever. We're very excited to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ because the world needs him so much. And my heart burns with that. I think of the college students across this country that are in many institutions being brainwashed. You're trying to please the professors and being shaped in an antichrist kind of spirit and not knowing the beauty and the power and the love and the truth in Jesus Christ, not knowing the meaning that he gives to life. They've been poisoned. And my heart just burns. If I had the money, I would get that book in the hands of every college student in America. That's what I would.
You know, it's very interesting. I was listening to a conversation earlier today, and I'm sure you know the names, Dr. Jordan Peterson and Charlie Kirk. They were having a discussion. And they were both commenting upon the fact that how it wasn't until much later in life, and of course Peterson is a highly renowned academic. I don't think Kirk went to college, but neither one of them, until they were years into their existence, had they ever heard the name William Wilberforce, who was the Christian parliamentarian who was able to bring, took him years, to bring about the demise of slavery throughout the British Empire. Within the realm of the colleges, they're not being taught who Wilberforce is, one of the great liberators of Black and African slaves, and they're not talking about him. And they both came to the stunning conclusion, the reason why he's not addressed or cited is because of an antipathy towards Christianity.
Yeah.
And I believe that's an accurate assessment. So yes, your book needs to get into the hands of as many college students as it's feasibly possible.
I could say the same about Charles Finney, who was a tremendously gifted evangelist in the 1830s to 70s, I guess, in our country.
Right.
And he was so adamantly against slavery, he would not allow people to take communion or be a part of the church if they did not renounce slavery. He started Oberlin College. And now that's one of the most woke institutions in America. It's just sad.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Sad what happens in our universities. 95% of the first 250 universities started in our country were started by Christians to train people for Christian public service or ministry. And we need a revival to bring our country back to those roots of faith.
You know what I find, Clay, and I'm not in university circles. I'm certainly very academically inclined. I read a great deal. I think I write. But I don't find myself in university circles in a regular way. But I do find myself out and about, and I'm always talking with people, engaging them. I frequent several restaurants. I meet people. And you get to talk with the waiter or the waitress and the person sitting next to you. And I don't find an enmity towards the gospel that one is hearing of playing out on university campuses. But what I do find, as I think is often the case even within churches, if we're not careful, our sense of God, who he is and what he offers, tends to be very narrowly focused in terms of what I need or want. And he is willing and ready to meet our every need. But there's a wider view that needs to be taken. I've always believed that the local, you know, churches can become very territorial. And yet, by my estimate, the local fellowship, no matter how small or large, God blesses the great and the small, according to the psalmist. But it is subordinate to the wider needs of the kingdom of God. And I long for the day when we can see beyond our own noses as believers, as churches. You're clearly a man, you and your lovely wife, Cheryl. You see beyond your own noses. You see the wider reality. You've grasped how high and how wide and how long and how deep is the love of Christ, or to the extent that you've been able heretofore. We're all finite, limited creatures. That's why I've always found you and Cheryl to be such a joy. You see beyond yourselves, because you're seeing the one of whom is written in the book. You're seeing Jesus. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. But when we come back for the final round, I'm going to give you the full 9 minutes, okay? Brad Lacy, Dr. Clayton Ford, author of Jesus Christ, Light of the World. We return in a moment. Brad Lacy and Dr. Clayton Ford, author of Jesus Christ, Light of the World. We return for one final round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Clay, concerning your book, please, lest we run out of time at the end, share with our audience how they can obtain a copy or access your new volume.
They can go on Amazon and look for Dr. Clayton Ford Books, and you'll get three of the books I've written there. Or you can just put in Jesus Christ, Light of the World by Dr. Clayton Ford, and you get a copy there. Prime members get free shipping. People that want to buy in bulk can email me at wclaytonford@gmail.com and give you a discount better than you can get on Amazon. But you need to buy in bulk to do that, yes.
Excellent. What a joy. Clay, I'm curious. You're a true man of God. There are those individuals I meet in ministry, and it's a select few, and I'm not meaning to be derisive of anyone else, but you do meet a smaller handful of men and women in whom it's so markedly manifest that the presence of God is alive and well. And you are one of those men. I'm not saying this to be obsequious or sycophantic. You truly are one of those men, as your wife is one of those ladies. So living your life and seeing life through the lens and the prism of the gospel, what are you seeing right now? What's happening and what's needed, and how can we best extend ourselves in the love and truth of Jesus?
Well, I'm seeing how important it is to be ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador isn't just one of the little titles we think of, but there's a richness, a depth to what that actually means. To be an ambassador from a country, the person first needs to understand the one that's sending them, know everything about the policies, the agendas, the goals, the language, the culture, the customs of the senders. And then an ambassador needs to know, love, understand, come to, how can I understand these people in such a way, language, customs, everything, that I can share Christ, or that I can, represent the senders of me to them in a way that they understand. Well, for a Christian, first is we know God, we know Him, we experience Him, we know His Word, we have His Spirit, we want His thoughts, we want His values, we want everything about Him as much as we can get inside of us, His love, His truth, His meaning, His holiness, His righteousness. And then we need to love the people. There's a lot of Christians don't love people very much, but God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, and Jesus so loved us, He gave His life on the cross, and everywhere He went, He had compassion. Compassion was behind His feeding of the 5,000 and healing. Not only was it signposts for the coming kingdom, but it was His love that is everywhere, and you see it in the prodigal son's story. So bringing that sense of ambassadorship, what is an ambassador for Christ? In every way wanting to represent Him with our lives, our lifestyle, our words, trying to be like Jesus in every way we can, and then bringing Him into that. And, a Christian is not an ethnocentric person, meaning I don't take my culture as an American, whether I'm a Democrat or Republican, I don't just put a Christian label on my ideology. And I have to represent Christ. And truth be told, there's no ideology that perfectly exemplifies Christ. And so I don't maybe line up with any party one way or the other, but I line up with Jesus, and I want to be in the world but not of it, and I'm a citizen of this kingdom and of God's kingdom, and I want to be as effective as I possibly can in both of those kingdoms. Sorry I took too long probably there.
No, not at all. I love it. I would like to piggyback first upon your concept of ambassadorship. Of course, that's taken directly from one of Paul's letters to the Corinthian church. You'll be very pleased. When I was in Russia back in the late 90s, I was in Moscow proper, and I was with a group of American pastors in the basement of the Tretyakov Museum, which is a renowned museum for Russian art. And there was a gentleman across from us who was just staring at us with his smile all over his countenance. And he came over to us and he spoke fluent English. He was an American. He says, "Where are you men from?" And we explain, "Well, I'm from Philly. This guy's from Monterey, California. There was another guy from Alaska, fourth guy from somewhere else." And I said, "Where are you from, sir?" This was his answer. And there was this tremendous elan to his voice. "I am an ambassador for the kingdom of God." And he was all smile.
Yes.
And I've never forgotten this man. And it's propelled me to want to be as he was and as you are. Wherever I go, my dictum is twofold. Either I want to be an encouragement to a fellow believer in Christ, or a gracious witness, whether by way of word or deed, circumstances determining, for Christ to the lost. So I love your understanding of ambassadorship. And you know, Clay, as you know, lots of Christians, most of us mean well, but some Christians are more busy pronouncing doctrine and dogma. Other Christians are more busy propounding experience. We're trying to get at the core, which is the person, the living, breathing, real person of Jesus Christ. We look to him. The doctrine and the experience flow out of him. He's primary, is he not?
Yes, he's primary. He's primary. I look at the Christian life like there are three legs to a stool or a table. There's love, there's truth, there's power. And Jesus, he describes his nature: love, truth, power. Paul said that in Romans, I believe it's 15, 18, and 19, that he fully preached the gospel when he, by word, he said, fully preached by word, truth, by deed, love, caring, living the life, and by power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Church of Jesus Christ needs to exemplify love, truth, and power. And that's a good balance.
I praise God. I'm sure that tripartite conception or schematic is to be found in your book. This is Dr. Clay Ford, author of Jesus Christ, Light of the World, available at Amazon.com. Dr. Clay, it has been a delight to have you. God bless you. And on behalf of Dr. Clay Ford, this is Brad Lacey. We wish you God's grace and life in him at every turn. Take care.